He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, and the allergies are back. Senior Lakers insider for Clutch Points, and today on the show, we're going to be talking about whatever the hell just happened. The Utah Jazz beat the Lakers 131-119. Felt like 19. This game was not all that close from about the first quarter on. It was just kind of steadily a beat down, and then eventually became like, you look up, you're like, wow, down 20, huh? And the Lakers never really responded in any meaningful way. And we'll talk about the game. We'll talk about Alex Len's debut. We'll talk about Dalton Kinect getting out there for this one. That felt noteworthy. And then we will probably send you guys on your way a little bit early in this show. Raj and I will get together, I believe, tomorrow to kind of look back on everything that has taken place before the All-Star break. But yeah, I would probably, it's a shitty way to go into the All-Star break, given how high we were riding as of a few hours ago. But at the end of the day, every team has games like this, even after acquisitions like Luka. And, you know, if you don't take the team seriously, as the Lakers didn't appear to take the Utah Jazz very seriously in this one, you get your butt kicked, and the Lakers did. The first stat that really stands out to me, honestly, in this one is, well, for one thing, Luka was a minus 19 in 23 minutes. He was pretty bad out there in this one. But even more notably than any singular player here, and Luka was a part of this, 17 of 30 from the free throw line for the Lakers. 17 of 30. The thing about free throws, they are easily the most mental part of a game, in my opinion, because it's all muscle memory. You could shoot endless and endless and endless amounts of free throws, and if you aren't quite right, you can, not only can free throws kind of leak into the rest of your game because you don't really want to get to the free throw line, like the guy who I always think of when this would kind of a free throw line issue seeping into the rest of somebody's game is somebody like Anthony Davis or somebody like Giannis, right? Where they're okay free throw shooters. They aren't terrible. But then they miss a couple and then they start kind of shooting floaters or they start not really attacking the basket the way that they should. And it just kind of affects you. And in this one, I think you kind of saw the reverse happen where the only thing that kept the Lakers even remotely in this one was kind of outlandish three-point shooting early, but they clearly didn't give a bleep about this one. And that free throw shooting to me indicated very early on, like, oh, all right, this is the kind of game we're having, huh? Everybody's already on vacation. And look, I get it. The Fridays before vacation are the worst work day that you'll ever encounter, right? You just like look up and you get to work and it's like, all right, I got here. It's 9 o'clock. All right, just about 8 hours to go and I'll be in Cancun real, real soon. And then you kind of go through, like you answer a couple emails and you're like, all right, I'm in a bit of a rhythm. I definitely think that had to have taken at least an hour or so. And you're like, 9:05, what? And that was essentially what like the energy that we saw from the Lakers here tonight was like, all right. It's like one more stupid task before we get to the All-Star break. Let's go ahead and knock this one out. All right. We're down 15. Like it was just a Jazz team that was just embarrassed the other night, right? In Luka's debut. They made a couple adjustments, I thought, in this one. Lauri Markkanen played, I think, pretty easily the best game I've ever seen him play against the Lakers. I'd like to go through his like splits against the Lakers. It's typically felt like he can't throw a pee in the ocean against the Lakers, but in this one, he was incredible. 11 of 18 from the field, 6 of 10 from three-point range, 4 of 4 from the free throw line. You look at the Jazz, 26 of 33 isn't exactly lighting the world on fire, but you look at their kind of like more important players who are a little bit more kind of focused here. John Collins, 7 of 7 from the free throw line. Lauri Markkanen, 4 of 4 from the free throw line. Jordan Clarkson's a bit of a joke at this point of his career, so he's like 4 of 8. And then you have like, you know, Keontae George goes 3 of 4. I'm not sure why he's coming off of the bench and Jordan Clarkson is starting. Solid tanking job there by Will Hardy and the Jazz. Just like in San Antonio, you have Chris Paul starting over Stephon Castle right now. I saw Kevin O'Connor point that out, and that made me chuckle. Both these teams still want to like hold on to the mere chance of being bad enough for long enough that like maybe like Wemby steps on a Lego and they're like, whoa, 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 you got to be careful here. We can't be too careful with this one. Wemby got to sit like 4 weeks because you stepped on a Lego. And that gives us an outside chance at Cooper Flagg. Like we're about like 3 weeks removed from Utah going over to like Walker Kessler and being like, hey bud, how you feeling? You're good. You're good. What'd you eat for lunch? I'm good, man. I'm good. I ate a ham sandwich. Oh, you hurt your hamstring off. That's too bad. You got to sit for like 7 weeks. But before they get to that point of the season, they have games like this where the team that they're playing against just doesn't care to the extent that it didn't matter what they were doing. Utah was going to win this one no matter what. And Lauri played his ass off. Walker Kessler just absolutely dominated on the interior. Jackson Hayes got hurt after 7 minutes. And then you had a lot of Alex Len. He played 22 minutes. You had Christian Coloco out there for 9 minutes. And then you had like the Lakers going small. But the problem with the Lakers going small without Dorian Finney-Smith and without Gabe Vincent is there's no ball pressure. So basically with all of Utah's guards outside of Clarkson, who is just running out there gunning, but like all of Utah's guards who actually care about winning, they were just like taking advantage of not having ball pressure, throwing the ball over the top of the defense. And you would have Walker Kessler just kind of standing there under the basket, looking like young Wilt taking care of business. So ugly game in this one. I'm not going to spend too much time on, like, much like the Lakers, I'm like right there to the All-Star break. You guys hear it in my voice. I'm like, man, almost there. We're coming off the All-Star break. I had like 12 hours combined over that last week or so during the All-Star or during the trade deadline, like right there to the All-Star break. Not that I'm going to Cancun or anything like that. I have two children and vacations are not vacations with children. But it is still like a Lakers team that I thought, and JJ said this after the game, they took Utah for granted after beating the crap out of them the other night. And the Lakers took the Jazz for granted and Utah took the Lakers to the woodshed and absolutely beat the crap out of them. So kudos to the Utah Jazz. I had warned you guys. And this was part of the conversation that, like, coming off of the game that the Lakers played the other night when they beat the crap out of Utah, was like, no. Like, Utah's been playing a little bit better basketball lately, like a little too good of basketball lately, to the extent where, like, Keontae George is now coming off of the bench. They've been playing pretty well by their standards. And the Lakers got to him the other night. And in this case, the Jazz got to him in this one. And this one again was over basically after like the first quarter. It was pretty clear. The level of focus just wasn't quite there. There was a stretch in like the first half where Utah scored on something like 9 straight possessions. And it's like, oh, all right. All right. This is what we're doing here. Cool. What I will say though, like, aside from how annoyed I am about the outcome of that game, what I will say is I think there's some value in Utah, like sending a message that, for one thing, if you're playing on the perimeter for the Lakers and your interior defense is Jaxson Hayes, Alex Len, and Christian Koloko, you need to get after it defensively at all times. And those lapses that you have defensively on the perimeter, you're going to get your butt kicked for them, because there is no, like, Anthony Davis is no longer there to fix your mistakes. And that was honestly the thing that was most kind of fun to watch over the course of this last 6-game winning streak, was players on the perimeter, like, really recognizing and getting after it defensively in a way that was like, all right, we aren't expecting Anthony Davis to be back there to clean up all of our messes. So let's not make so much of a mess. And then I thought in this one, the unfortunate combination of, yeah, we're not going to pressure, and also we're going to let guys get by us and get into the paint and stuff, and let passes get into the paint and get through the cracks of the defense with very little, pressure or deflection. Like, I don't think the Lakers had, it didn't feel like they had like 10 deflections over the course of the entirety of the game. Like, this is one of those really important reminders to those players on the perimeter, whether that's, and like, they didn't have Gabe, they didn't have Dorian Finney-Smith, and those guys were missed. But like, I thought Vando played with low energy in this one. I thought Austin Reeves and Luka were pretty bad on the perimeter. I thought LeBron did a lot of like the stand and point type of defense that he can sometimes fall victim to. And that's one thing. You can do those things sometimes and not look so bad statistically when Anthony Davis is back there to clean it up. But when you swap out Anthony Davis for Alex Len, like, not Jaxson Hayes, because even Jaxson Hayes is better than Alex Len, but you swap out Anthony Davis for Alex Len, and especially in Alex Len, who doesn't really necessarily know what he's supposed to be doing out there defensively, that's when you look up and you look at, like, the Utah Jazz dropping 131 points right upside the forehead. So, you know, sometimes you need those reminders. It would be great for us as like a viewing audience if sports teams didn't need those reminders. But in this was one of those kind of important reminders that teams get every so often, where it's like, you don't show up, you know, like I, when I was a coach, and people have asked me like what kind of a coach I was before, I used to tell people, you play half speed, you're going to get your ass beat. Like, you're either going to get literally hurt out there as Jaxson Hayes did, or you're going to get your butt kicked to the extent that the Lakers did on the scoreboard. And, you know, it's just, that's just how that game went. All right, so let's talk really quickly and leave questions and comments here. I haven't been able to do too much. You know what? I'll pull up the iTunes mailbag and I'll pull up the Discord mailbag. And I had somebody ask me on Twitter for the Discord link, so I will go ahead and put the Discord link in the comments here for those who want to join us there. But yeah, I last point before we get to more of the super comments and iTunes reviews, questions and stuff like that, because I haven't done a mailbag in a while, being a little busy. Hold on one second. Let me go to show and then scroll down to, yeah, we have some reviews here, so we'll go ahead and get to those as well. but I want to talk really quickly about like this notion of a loss going into the All-Star break. I talked a little bit ago about like the ugly reminder that that this can have on teams, you know, the productive reminder that it can have on teams in a larger sense, in a macro sense. But I think what we've kind of seen, for one thing, JJ's got to get his, like, all right, Luka is apparently on a time restriction or a minutes restriction, and that's kind of probably messing with the rotation. However, even considering that, you know he's on a minutes restriction. Get him out of the game a little earlier. Like, the Lakers have been doing this thing over the last couple games where LeBron subs out. And actually, the previous game, LeBron and Luka walked off the court at the same time. And it was like, why? Where are you going? Like, I even saw, like, I'm not saying actually, but like, I felt like Austin was looking at them and go like, oh, what? I got to make this lineup work? What? You know, like, huh? And then we saw it in this one where it was like, Austin and Dalton and Len and Vando, and it was just like a mess, like an absolute mess. And I think my guess is that, like, you know, JJ just kind of wanted to get through a couple of games, let Luka get out there, break a sweat a couple of times, see what he could see from him. And then over the course of the All-Star break, the Lakers are probably really going to hammer down something closer to not playoff rotations, but, like, you know, decent rotations, more practical rotations. But still, you know, the thing is, the Lakers are the 4 seed right now. Do I have that right? I think they are. They're the 4 seed right now, and it might be just by percentage points. No, they are. They're the 5 seed right now, and they are well within range of even as high as like the 2 seed if they really want to go after it. And like, if you're going to go after it and try to jump up there to the 2 seed, or like, okay, you want to like stay on the opposite side of the bracket from Denver, maybe then you get to the 4 seed and then you have to deal with Oklahoma City in the second round. It's the West. You're going to have to deal with a good team no matter what. But, like, maybe the Lakers jump up to the 2 seed and that pushes Denver to the 4 seed as they it would currently. And then one of either Denver or OKC has to beat the other team before they get to you. And I don't know. Like, at some point, it's going to be interesting to see if the Lakers basically start gunning for wins to improve their seeding here. That's not normally how LeBron handles things, but like, I do think matchups and home court and stuff like that is really going to matter in the Western Conference. And like these are these kinds of stupid games that you're going to look back on at the end of the year. And like it's not going to be as soul crushing as it was before, where enough of these games led to you playing in the play-in game or having to play an extra play-in game to even get into the playoffs. Like, you're not like, it's not going to be that kind of a situation where you get to the end of the season, you're like, why did we lose to fucking Utah? You know, we're one of their 15 wins all year. I don't think it'll be quite that bad, but it'll certainly be like, well, that's kind of stupid. Lost to Detroit twice. This game here tonight, you know, and like a couple of those games, kind of like free throws, right? Like, at one point I looked up at the score, the Lakers had made a mini push in the second half, and it was like a 13-point game. And you look up and you're like, man, if the Lakers had just made like even half of the free throws that they had missed, this would be a single digit game again. And they could maybe make a push for it there at the very end. And that's basically how I'm going to feel about this loss. It's like, this was a free throw that the Lakers missed over the course of an 82-game season that, yeah, in the moment was kind of annoying. But then, like, by the end of the season, you look back on it, you're like, why? And so, like, macro sense, that's where I'm coming from. But micro sense, I think one really important thing that is going to have to happen over the next like week or so. And it's tough because, you know, LeBron is going to have All-Star weekend festivities. Luka is probably going to take a vacation. Austin probably going to go on a bit of a vacation. Although I'm hoping Luka spends the vacation or spends a break kind of getting his legs, continuing to work to get his legs underneath him, because he hasn't shot very well since he got to the Lakers. 3 of 8 from 3-point range tonight. He's like 1 of 5 in the first game. So that's 4 of 13 as a Laker, I believe, off the top of the head. Reeves shot really poorly tonight. Aside from recuperating, recovering, that stuff, but LeBron and Luka, I hope they really put their heads together and figure out, all right, and JJ has to be involved in this too. Those guys have to figure out, like, all right, what do we have to do to more quickly eliminate the, is it your turn? Is it my turn? Do you cut here? Do I cut here? You want to set a screen? You want me to set a screen? Like, you can watch them on the court, just kind of like figuring out what to do here. And the sooner they get away from that, I think the better the Lakers are going to be. We haven't seen too many pick and rolls between the two of them, running it together. That'll be interesting. I kind of think JJ is saving some of that for when Luka has his legs underneath him a little bit more. The Jazz went zone in this one, and the idea of a zone impacting an offense run by Luka Doncic and LeBron James with Austin also on the court, that doesn't seem to make too much sense either. Like, one of those guys, whether it's Luka or LeBron, eventually Luka basically took it upon himself to just kind of stand at the free throw line against the zone. But that's going to be something that they're going to have to figure out a little bit more, with a little bit more direction and a little more purpose than we have seen so far this season. Like, over the course of the next, the Lakers don't play again till when? They don't play till, good week or so. Let me look at their schedule. They play again on, the 19th. So a literal week from right now. Over the course of that week, conditioning has to improve, get some practice sessions in to get guys more accustomed to where they're going to be catching passes and looking for open shots. Rui especially needs to learn. He has decent instincts as an offensive player without the basketball. But I think your instincts have to go up that much higher when you're playing with Luka and LeBron, and they are capable of every single pass that somebody can throw. So Rui, Austin, Dorian, Vando to a lesser extent. But those kinds of players are going to have a better understanding of when they should be expecting the ball. It, generally speaking, you should always be expecting it. But the Lakers, Dalton also, I don't know how much he's going to play, but those guys who are going to be finishing plays, they have to be in better rhythm by the time the ball gets to them than they have been over the last couple of games, especially this one. But I think far more importantly is Luka and LeBron and JJ to a lesser extent getting together and being like, all right, here's what the offense, we can do the two guard thing. We can do the spread thing. We can do five out and we can pick apart defenses that way. But we do have to figure out who is 1A, who is 1B. And I think since Luka has gotten to the Lakers, he has kind of allowed himself to be 1B while he kind of gets his legs underneath him, gets his conditioning together, all that stuff. But I think eventually over the course of the season, and Sedano said this on yesterday's show, eventually Luka is going to have to step into that role as 1A, and LeBron is going to have to cede those responsibilities and allow himself to be 1B. That, I think, is the best version of the Lakers. And the sooner the LeBron and Luka get themselves to that point and figure out what that would actually look like and figure out how they would best execute that together, that is the sooner they can get to those moments and those epiphanies, the better the Lakers are going to be.
Bye, everyone.